T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think Putin got them again.
Got it.
Okay, yeah, well, you're back, but I think Putin still has a hold of Leroy.
I just noticed during the break, I was like, I don't hear anything coming out of my headphones. That's kind of weird. So I got up and I was like, disconnected again. Beautiful.
Yeah, and your old friend is back too. Your old friend is back, Mr. Static. Even though usually it goes away pretty quickly when you come back.
I'm sure it'll go away soon. What are you going to do, Robbie?
Yeah, I know. You can't please everything. I know.
We got the Magnificent Seven coming up in just a matter of minutes, so that's very exciting. Before that, let's give you a little update here on COVID-19, powered by AirPros, $79 service. Call the pros that know, AirPros, acrepair.com. A lot of news coming out yesterday from the Florida Health Department. They said that the corona cases and deaths are up in most counties in Florida since easing the restrictions, but the infection rates have not increased. Cases are up 91% in Palm Beach, 40% in Dade, 34% in Broward. Deaths up 75% in Palm Beach, 80% in Dade, and 48% in Broward. But this comes from Alberto Moscoso, who says that he's the communication director for the Florida Department of Health. He says that as we test more people, we're getting more results. The positivity rate is actually going down. So that's some good news in it, even though that the results overall are going up. That's because we just have more info. So that's what's going down there, man. As far as that, we got the Magnificent Seven coming up in just a matter of minutes. But let's get to some headlines. You can also, by the way, you can text the show 786-360-0790 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. Robbie, let's get some headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
No fine there, Tobin. Got the right number.
Yeah, man.
And these headlines are brought to you by the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Truly steps beyond convenient. So I was thinking this. I know this could never happen. This is just me fantasizing, throwing it out there. This is what I fantasize about. So that the NBA, with their new plan, the season's supposed to come back July 31st. Couple dates got moved. Obviously, the NBA draft had to get moved to October. The lottery had to get moved to August. So, I mean, I know this is never going to happen. But since everything's, you see how college football, a bunch of these teams are having dates on when they're allowed to return to their facilities?
Yep.
So since you're bringing players back, and the draft is being moved to October, maybe we could bring back the NCAA tournament. I know it's not going to happen, but still.
You want the NCAA tournament fall madness?
Yeah, why not? Maybe Mark Emmert's a little bit hammered, and he's like, you know what? Why don't we? I think we could play on the NCAA tournament. Makes a phone call to CBS, and Turner's like, hey, what do you think about bringing back the tournament? Everything's getting moved.
Have you ever missed anything as much as you missed the NCAA tournament?
This has been the worst. Like, I mean, we were so close. We were literally a week away from the tournament beginning. We were running promos. Then it gets canceled.
I'm sorry, man.
And then you have to wait. Who knows if it's going to happen next year? I mean, who knows? I mean, it's going to be a massive void the longer this goes on without the NCAA tournament.
Well, look, I don't know what to tell you, Robbie. There'll be more stuff to gamble on, my friend. There will be, I promise. I know it hurts, though. I know it hurts you greatly.
But hey, it's something to think. Emmert, it's something to think about. I know it's very impossible, hard to pull off, but think about it. Maybe over a few drinks and then, maybe come up with some crazy plan.
Leroy Texter writes, and Luol Deng has a lot of money. How'd that work out for him?
It's fine.
Fine.
Look. The it's a job. You want to make as much money as you can. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the point where you're comfortable and you don't have to worry about money and money is not an issue, then you can choose to do it for other reasons, but it's your profession. So I'm never going to get mad at a guy that takes the money. Like, contrary to popular belief, the guy who did the smartest thing this past offseason was Bradley Beal. Because with the uncertainty of the salary cap and what contracts are going to be 2 and 3 years from now, he secured his future, he secured his income early and avoided all those issues. Because if the salary cap goes down, those max deals go down. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, but like $100 million is securing your future.
Again,
to make decisions for other things.
Here, if let's look at it this way. If you can make in a career $400 million, and that's the way it was spelled out for you. If you can make $400 million, would you sacrifice a quarter of that to win a championship?
Yeah, probably.
Sacrifice half of that to win a championship?
It's not going to be half that.
No, but what I'm saying is that you don't know what these numbers are as you're going along. And so you're asking him,
you don't
now,
you don't
you got enough. You just go ahead.
It's not enough. Like, you're acting like he has to come play for the Heat for free. That's silly.
No, I'm not saying that. But when you keep signing all these deals, like, everybody's not like LeBron. LeBron could play basketball for $10 million a year.
Bradley Beal is not like LeBron.
Right.
But Giannis is right now getting into that realm of popularity where he's going to be in the LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry realm.
Right.
He's the uber superstar of the league where he could probably do whatever he wants because the money's going to be there.
Okay. Now, keep in mind, all those guys you're talking about, they were getting paid before him. You understand what I'm saying?
Steph Curry wasn't. Steph Curry had a
team. Well, because he was hurt, so he didn't know he was going
to. Okay, but that gets your point.
And he signed a max deal.
After.
Right, after his last contract.
Yeah, he signed a max deal after they won all the championships.
That's just the timing of it, though.
You're right. It is just the timing of it. But Giannis is in a better financial position than Steph Curry was. No, he
I don't
was.
Know about that. I mean,
other than Under Armour money.
What was Giannis's last contract?
His last contract's going on right now.
No, I know, but what was he like? What is it? It was the $95 million or the 90.
He's right now on a 4-year, $100 million contract.
4-year, $100 million. So yeah, he's made. Steph signed his extension after year 7, right?
He's made $80 million. He's gonna make. He's got guaranteed after next year he'll be making over $100 million in his career. Right.
Okay.
He's all right. He's all right. You don't gotta.
But again, you're telling him he's all right.
He's gonna be there. It's gonna be there for him.
That's what they. I mean, it's funny. People outside the circle can always say it's gonna be there for you.
It's gonna be there for him.
Nah, ain't no guarantee, man. Get your money. Especially now, if you want to do that when you know, after this deal, that's fine, right? But go ahead on and get your money.
Tell them bring me my money.
Yep, that is correct.
Discount. That guy's gonna get a lot of money this offseason.
Who?
Him. Bam.
Oh.
What else you got, Robbie?
So, Tobin, remember yesterday when I brought up the possibility of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming back for the Nets? Well, apparently the internet rumors are starting to come up.
I saw this, and you know what? Here's what I think. If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving come back, I think that's a means to an end, because I know that I don't think they think they can come back and win the championship cold. I think what they want is they want to prove to the Nets front office people, we need to make a big splash. And what could happen is if the Nets just go with their little chemistry unit and they go out there and they win some games and they look scrappy, the front office, they'll be less inclined to go out and make a big splash. So what they want to do is those two curmudgeons want to go in there, ruin the chemistry a little bit. That way it primes the Nets to try and go make a big move.
Dude, you don't think they're going to be a good team if you add Durant, Kyrie, with Dinwiddie, and some of those younger guys?
Caris LeVert.
Yeah, LeVert.
Yeah, they don't want to be. They don't.
LeVert
they don't
got play. That. LeVert got a little bit of that Derrick Jones Jr. too, huh? He is thin.
They don't want to play with those guys.
Why not?
Because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are curmudgeons. They want to have a super team. They want to go get Bradley Beal. They think it's beneath them to play with Dinwiddie and with Caris LeVert.
Really?
And Jared Allen. Yeah.
You don't think they want to play with good players?
I don't think they. No, I think they want to play with stars. Look at those two. They're curmudgeons. Who do they like?
I tell you what. Sometimes your thinking about how other people think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I've also been spot on a lot with this stuff.
Man, that's good. That's good talent they got on their team. You add two perennial all-stars to it.
You mean great talent that Kyrie Irving's already hosed down this year where he says, I look around this locker room and, you know, we're going to make a lot of changes. He's already said this. He is a salty bastard. He goes out there and he immediately hoses down everybody, tells you the earth is flat, and it's not like he's got, you know, Mr. Rogers coming in there to tell everybody how great it is in the neighborhood, because Kevin Durant is just as salty. He just does it with fake Twitter accounts.
You're impossible today. You are impossible.
How am I impossible? I feel like you're impossible.
No, I mean... You. It could be in the Eastern Conference with that team. They can. I don't know why you don't think they can. That's a good team.
With Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
Won't work.
Why not?
Because they're gonna hate each other. I could just tell.
You think Kyrie and
it's all good now because they ain't playing. It's all
okay,
good now.
But you think the two stars are gonna be the ones to go at it?
Oh yeah.
Then who cares who they add on the team?
They do.
If they don't get along, it ain't gonna matter anyway.
Trust me, it's not gonna work for them. Plus, we don't even know what old hockey stick feet's body's going to be like coming back from the Achilles. All of a sudden, people just come bounce back from Achilles injuries like it ain't no thing.
And Kyrie, you know he going to miss some time.
All right, Rob, are you ready for the Magnificent Seven?
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that next. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for... seven plays that are magnificent. Ergo, we refer to this as the Magnificent Seven. Robbie the Degenerate, he gives you his best seven plays to win money this weekend. What do you got for us, Robbie?
All right, so real quick right now, we got the KBO live on ESPN. It's the NC Dinos against the Hanwha Eagles. It's 11-0 right now. We're about to start the ninth inning. You're going to have two. I mean, yeah, the road team is technically winning 11-0, so you're going to have two halves of the ninth inning. The live over-under is 11.5. NC Dinos, I think they've done enough already. 11 runs. They got their win already. They don't need to add on any more runs. They're just going to get the three outs, and they're satisfied with the result. And meanwhile, the Hanwha Eagles, they've had two hits the whole game. It's been and now they're down 11-0 with no crowd in the stands. Live under 11.5. Take it right now. There's not going to be any more runs. I had to get that in there quick.
Got it. Number two, Robbie.
All right. Now, I know Leroy would get mad at this. I know, trust me, Tobin, I promise, I'm going to have UFC bets on there. But I can't ignore locks. I can't ignore layups, no matter what the sport is or Understood. How stupid the sport is. And we got a simulated action between the 1988 and 89 Chicago Bulls taking on the 1994-95 New York Knicks.
That should have been higher up on my list.
Oh, simulated games?
And betting on simulated
what
is games.
What team are the 88 Bulls taking on?
They are on the road in Madison Square Garden taking on the 94-95 New York Knicks.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the biggest bro
Back
argument
up,
ever.
Bro.
And the Bulls are laying 2.5 points at the Mecca, bro.
The Mecca, bro.
Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but NBA 2K has been pretty stupid. Last week, I lost a bet. I bet the Heat to lay 2.5 points at home against the Cavaliers, who they routinely pound, and they won by 1 point in overtime. So now I know NBA 2K is completely stupid. Now, so why not, instead of, you know, being angry at the result, why not take advantage of their stupidity? The Bulls here on the road favored by 2.5 points. Now, if you guys know, this Bulls team hadn't won anything yet. These were considered the choking Bulls. They haven't won a title yet. And this New York Knicks team, they were in the finals the year before. Now, if this is a real game, I think the Knicks, everybody would jump on the Knicks getting the 2.5 points at home at the Mecca against the choking Jordan. But I don't think Michael Jordan is going to allow. I think he sends a memo to NBA 2K. He's probably not allowed to lose or not cover. You saw what happened in The Last Dance. He was in complete control of that, and some say it was propaganda with his Last Dance.
Yep, I agree.
I'm pretty sure if the Bulls lose or fail to cover in this game and Jordan doesn't have a good game, I think NBA 2K will get canceled.
And wasn't there a thing back in the day, too, with Jordan? Like, didn't he not allow himself to be in video games? Or am I thinking of Barry Bonds?
Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was definitely not allowed. There was always some weird guy to replace Barry Bonds in the video game.
Right. Like, he was never – you could never be Bonds in these video games, and they always just had some superstar rando on the Giants. They didn't do that with Jordan, too? That wasn't a thing?
I'm sure back in the day when those video games were out, I'm sure it might have been a thing. Maybe he wasn't. I know Bonds wasn't a part of the Players Association, and that's why he was in the video game. But I think the 88-89 Bulls are obviously going to have Jordan on in the simulated action.
Okay.
Yeah, and the 2K classic teams all have Jordan routinely. Maybe while he was playing, he wasn't on the roster, but for classical teams, since he's not playing anymore, and he's not a part of the Players Association anymore, all fair game. But the temptation is going to be to take the Knicks and the home dog. Don't buy it. It's rigged. Jordan's going to win by a million points. Lay the 2.5 with the 88-89 Bulls.
Okay. All right, Robbie, number three.
All right. And one more, Leroy. I promise. Last one. And then the rest are all real people bets. But I can't ignore this.
Real people bets. You mean sports bets.
I mean, the action is real all account. The action doesn't care about whether it's betting on robots or betting on people. But
action is action.
Action is action. So you got it's back. The Bills overtrain. The Detroit Lions at the Buffalo Bills. This is a noon action tomorrow. The over-under is set only at 50.5. Now, here's what the trick they're trying to do to people is. The game is going to be played with light snow. Don't buy it. It's alternate reality. The snow is not going to have an effect on the total whatsoever. There's still going to be a million points in this game. Think about it. The Bills gave up 40-plus points at home to Daniel Jones. They've gotten blown out by the Jets multiple times at home in this simulated alternate reality. So they've been an over machine. The light snow is a trick, people. Don't fall for it. Take the over 50.5. You're getting a discounted line because of this quote-unquote light snow. Don't buy it.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So wait. We are now adding elements to a simulated game. And Rob is saying, while betting his money on it, don't buy it. It's simulated.
Unbelievable.
These guys are tricksters. I only know this stuff because I've fallen for all of the tricks.
Wow. Unbelievable.
All right. Real people.
Number four, Rob.
Real people. Bundesliga.
Ah.
Bayern Munich against Bayer Leverkusen. Now, there's two lines. Have you guys ever played quarterball?
No.
All right.
No.
Here's how quarterball works in soccer. There are two lines for this. What it does is it takes half of your bet and places it on one line and half of the bet on the other. So in this case, Bayern Munich is favored by both one goal and by 1.5. But you're placing one bet, and what they do with that one bet is they take half your bet and put it on Bayern Munich -1 and half the bet on Bayern Munich -1.5. Now, Bayern has been I would look so embarrassed last week betting against Bayern, taking the three goals, and they won 5-0. I've never looked so foolish in my life betting against Bayern. I'm not doing that anymore. Bayern is a machine. They are a complete train. Now, here's how it works. There's a little bit of an out. I think they're going to easily win by more than 1.5 goals. They're going to win by 2 or more. If they only win by one goal, you lose. Yes, you basically get half your bet back. because he pushed on the other bet. So quarter ball action, Bayern Munich -1 and -1.5. I don't think you have to worry. I think you're going to end up winning both sides. Bayern Munich wins with ease.
By the way, I've been looking this up.
I think some of your degeneracy is oozing on to me.
I've been I looked up this Jordan. This was the thing where Jordan wasn't in video games throughout the 90s.
Well, somebody just texted me Barry Bonds has his own licensing agreement.
Yeah, well, so did Jordan. So did right. Jordan. He didn't actually get back into games until the 2000s. It was the first game Jordan appeared in for 2K Sports was NBA 2K11. They had like a huge deal for his own. But yeah, he had his own agreement and wasn't in the NBA's players associations because it was money. You know, he just wanted more money.
And wasn't he on the cover on one of the 2K games recently? Like, that was a big thing, Jordan.
Yeah, I think it was probably this. Mm-hmm. It was probably like in the Big Three era around that time. What else you got, Robbie?
All right, Tobin. How about some fights?
Let's go, man.
All right.
250 tomorrow.
The big number, UFC 250. I think Amber might think it's a channel. UFC 250. She's going to be looking. Where's this UFC 250 channel?
I saw people were talking about her praying mantis pinkies yesterday on the Instagram.
It's just a tiny little flaw.
What we got for fights, Robbie?
All right, you got Rafael Assunção taking on Cody Garbrandt. Now, Cody Garbrandt's your favorite here, -150. Rafael Assunção is at +120. Now, this is both of these fighters having the extended camp. Both these guys are supposed to fight a couple months ago, and their fight got canceled and pushed back. A little bit of money coming in on Assunção, and here's why. Garbrandt hasn't fought since March 2019, kind of like Tyron Woodley. He hasn't fought in a while. Yep. Assunção is a little bit fresher. He fought last August. Now, Garbrandt, he said he's fallen on some hard tides, Tobin. Lost three in a row. Daddy. Three in a row. Hasn't lost since 2016.
He won that championships, and it's been... People thought he was going to be like the next star. I thought he was. Because when he won that championship against Dominic Cruz, he was unbelievable. But he had some bad knockout losses to TJ Dillashaw.
Woo! Yeah, he got pummeled. And then he lost another fight afterwards. He was 11-0. He's lost three in a row, falling on some hard times. Assunção, he had a bad 2019, lost both of his fights. But before that, he won his previous four. I think there's a little bit of value in Assunção as an underdog. And we've seen these past couple UFC cards, there's been an underdog that slipped through, like Gilbert Burns or Alistair Overeem, or who beat Tony Ferguson. Oh, Gaethje, Justin Gaethje. I feel like there's been an underdog in these UFC cards. I feel like in this case, it's going to be Rafael Assunção, Cody Garbrandt, long layoff, not the fighter he used to be. Take Assunção +120.
Okay, number six.
All right, how about a little fight parlay?
A little fight parlay, Leroy.
Hello, here comes Amanda Nunes.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. If you want to bet Amanda Nunes, you got to lay -650 against Felicia Spencer.
Yeah.
And Amanda Nunes, she's the greatest of all time.
Of all time, man.
It's hard to see her lose, but you don't want to lay -650, so you got to throw some other fights in there to make the numbers work. How about Sean O'Malley? -5.
Oh, man. The Sugar Show.
-550 against Eddie Wineland. But we're still quite not there yet. So we need one more fight. We got Herbert Burns. I don't know if he's I don't think he's Gilbert Burns' brother.
He is actually.
He is Gilbert Burns' brother. All right. So there you go. -235 against Evan Dunham. Only three fights, three winners, and you're good. -106. No 5, 6, 17 parlay. Just three fights, and you got Amanda Nunes in there, which is the biggest layup of all. Three fight.
Excellent. All right. And then number seven, Robbie.
All right. How about a little futures bet? But not that much in the future. So you could bet on who is going to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks. Now, here are the nominees. Tom Thibodeau is your favorite at -200. You got Mark Jackson, +450. Now, I mean, Mark Jackson had his issues with the Warriors. You know, nobody liked Mark Jackson on the coaching staff when he was with the Warriors. And maybe he held the Warriors back. As soon as he left, they started winning everything. Thibodeau is Thibodeau. You know what he is. He's going to run his players to the ground. You got Mike.
We did have Jimmy Butler thinking that he got a little soft in Minnesota.
Yeah, Wiggins and Towns.
Yep.
And then you got Mike Miller. Not that Mike Miller. Not 1-2-3 Mike Miller. Their current, I believe he's their current interim coach. He's right. +6.
Who's the bald coach? The black.
Oh, that's Boylan.
No. Okay.
You think of Mike Woodson?
Mike Woodson. There you go.
Mike Miller plus 600. They're not going to bring back Mike Miller. There's no way that's happening. You got Kenny Atkinson, maybe out of spite to the Nets, you could bring him in at plus 600. You got Ty Lue at plus 700. But how about deep down on the list? This person's last on the list, and this might be the best coach out of all of the names. And this person's getting paid out 25-1 plus 2,500. You guys want to get paid? Mm-hmm. Becky Hammon.
Oh. Well,
she has been on the Spurs staff since 2014. She was the head coach of the summer league team for the San Antonio Spurs. And look, we know James Dolan, he kind of stepped in it this past week. James Dolan, maybe take the spotlight away from him for a little bit. It's a little bit of a good PR move to bring in Becky Hammon. No one's talking about James Dolan. Wow, New York Knicks, first ever woman head coach hired. And she's probably the best coach out of all the people I've named. Up and coming, hasn't had any issues in the past. At 25-1.
Greg Popovich has her sensei.
What about Duncan? If you're going to mention her.
Tim Duncan?
Well, Tim Duncan just started. He just started being an assistant coach.
I don't think Tim Duncan wants to leave San Antonio. I think he just wants to live there.
He just wants... Well, you'd have to get rid of the dreads.
Yeah, well, you got Borrego from Charlotte.
He has a dread. One dread.
Yeah, Popovich has a tree. You got Borrego in Charlotte. You got Brett Brown with the Sixers. And so, yeah, you take it from the Popovich tree. Maybe the best coach. And it's going to take – for at least a few minutes, it's going to take the shine away from James Dolan. It's going to be –
Ooh, how do you think they react in New York?
Bro.
There's certain places that
– You got a coach. She's a woman. You know, she's out there. You know, it's good. You know, it's good. People are gonna like it. I don't know. I like it. I mean, I don't know. You gonna like it? Back after this on the fan.
You don't find Knicks fans are gonna be super progressive and understanding?
No.
She's got a coach on the Mecca, bro.
Oh my god.
I'd be interested. You know what? I'm curious. And we're supposed to have Spike Lee on next week, right? I'm curious to this. Is it possible, with how bad the Knicks have been, and how up and coming the Brooklyn Nets look, if they start getting more attention than the Knicks because of the owner?
I don't know. Right now, that place just kind of like, you know, they don't really have fans. People just basketball fans go, not so much Nets fans.
Well, and
I suppose if they win championships or go to the finals, I'm sure they could become the thing.
Well, but the Nets have gone to the finals more recently than the Knicks.
True. But that was when they were in Jersey. I think it's more of a, it's kind of like a Clippers Lakers thing. I just don't think.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
It's so rooted. I just don't think you could change it.
That's what I was getting ready to say is that, man, the Clippers, before LeBron got to L.A. and towards the end of Kobe's career, they were the team that was making all the moves to contend for a title, and they never could get there.
They got Kawhi and Paul George now, and supposedly in L.A. It's like it's not even a thing.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Right.
Not even close to the Lakers. We'll take a break. Back with more on Tobin and Leroy after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on a Friday. Yeah, Robbie's got me jonesing for those fights tomorrow night, man. A little pay-per-view action. I think Amanda Nunes is going to work Felicia Spencer. Although it has been, like he has said, it has been upset central a little bit lately in these main events. But the rest of it's fun. Now, I know this isn't your style, Leroy, because you don't like the little guys fighting. And it's a whole lot of bantamweights and featherweights fighting. Whole lot of 135s and 145ers. But I like that style because I think those guys, they're fast. They can throw some cool combos. I think that's an enjoyable style. And they got some really good young fighters on this card, too. Like, I'm a little, you know... It kind of sucks that it's on pay-per-view, and I don't know if it's going to do that great. Because especially it just feels like we just had a pay-per-view, even though I know they do them every month. But, you know, guys like Sean O'Malley is going to be fun to watch. Although you can watch Chase Hooper on ESPN. We had that kid in the studio when he was 18 years old. He's now 20. And okay. he's taking a Miami guy. He's taking on Alex Caceres, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm a little torn because I like Bruce Leroy. Alex Caceres is like back from the original like fight in the backyard days. Like that's where he got his start. But he's not like he's very like zen like almost. Like he's like a vegan, he's like one with the earth. So you wouldn't think that this is like the type of guy who would be fighting in the backyard. But he's got I think what 22 UFC fights something like that going against Chase Hooper. This is his second UFC fight. So they're really throwing him a big time veteran, even though like Alex Caceres hasn't been like on the best run of as of late. I just think that that's a really interesting fight because they obviously think a lot of what Chase Hooper can be, even though he looks like a child. He looks like Ben Askren's son. That's the joke.
Who's Leroy?
Looks just like Ben Askren's son. So,
hopefully he got that knot off his forehead.
It's crazy though. Yeah, Alex Caceres has been fighting forever. He's only 31 years old, and he has been fighting forever. So that's a fun card tomorrow night. I'm definitely gonna tune in. I might, you know, it's pay per view. Might have to swashbuckle it. I don't know.
Wink.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing.
Wink.
I mean,
the amount of fights that UFC puts out a month is amazing.
Yeah.
When you think about the ESPN card, the pay-per-view card. They do what, one pay-per-view a month? One?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, is it by any chance with all the fights they have on ESPN, all the fights, like, because they start at like 6 and the main event is not going to be on until what time?
Probably midnight.
Right. They're not diluting it any? Because there's always a flux of
talent.
Oh,
it's definitely diluted. Like it is what it is. Like they just have a ton of cards.
But
like next week's main event is Jessica I versus Cynthia Calvillo. Like that's not a main event fight. It's just not.
But think of it this way, they're doing it for the guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. With ESPN, so they have to put out more cards way. Is it hurting their pay per view?
It's not new though, because they did this with Fox too. Fox they had a huge TV deal, so it's not new. What you're saying isn't wrong, but it's not new to the sport. Like they've been diluting it for a while now, where they've had so many cards, it's almost exhausting to keep up with. And if it wasn't the only show in town, if it was the only live sports. I don't know what they've been. Although it's been strange, I haven't seen, like, you know, it's been weird to me that this has been a week. Now, I wonder if the protests have had anything to do with this. And there's obviously been a ton of sports crossover with that because of all the guys speaking out, the Drew Brees news. I don't feel like I've seen any coverage at all on ESPN about Amanda Nunes or any of that stuff, other than like obviously Ariel Helwani doing his normal thing. But you know, normally they'll get these fighters on Get Up or something like that, do a hit, and you know, there's been none of that this week.
No marketing.
No marketing.
If it were Conor or somebody like that, they would do it.
If it was Conor, it'd be do it. But like, but it's not even like this. This is the only. If you're ESPN. And you have no other sports to broadcast, like you wouldn't be doing any promotion to get people to buy the pay-per-view. That's kind of weird.
Or even have it on last week when they had it on ESPN.
Right. Like would know if it was on ESPN, I would get it. Cause like, yeah, you have people have ESPN, you'll have it in the little box. But I find it strange that for a pay-per-view fight, I'm sure Dana White will do a hit on something probably today or something like that. But you know, to not have the fighters on or anything like that. I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah, all you see in the corner on the corner of ESPN, you see just Amanda Nunes with the Brazil flag painted over her eye, and Spencer with the Canadian flag painted over her, and that's your promo.
That's it. And so, I find that a little bit because Amanda is, like I saw something that says like, well, how could you know what could the UFC have done to make Amanda Nunes a bigger star? The only thing that would have been interesting would have been, her most notorious knockout or her most famous person she knocked out was Ronda, And they literally didn't put Amanda in the commercials for that fight. Like, they it was all about Ronda's comeback. And Ronda worked her. Like, I mean, Amanda worked Ronda. Like, just destroyed her. But she's knocked out. I mean, she's beaten Valentina. She's knocked out Holly Holm. She's knocked out Cyborg. Anybody, any woman fighter you've heard of, she's knocked out.
She's knocked out
or beaten badly. Right. Valentina's the only one where it's been close. And Valentina might be the second best women's fighter of all time. Like,
right.
So, I don't know. I just found it interesting this week because there's, you know, this whole... they were in such a rush to get back, the UFC, and they wanted to be the only show in town. But I do kind of feel like maybe that novelty wore off a little bit already because they've been having so many cards.
And, I mean, and I would say with all the – I mean, think about this. One of the reasons why I use – like, I like watch boxing and UFC is because of the up-and-comers and the challengers and working their way up, you know, to get a title fight or what have you. With all of the people holding the title, for them to be like disgruntled or having problems up top, it's almost like I don't care who's gonna be available to fight for the title because there's so many issues going on with the champ. That where does that put UFC?
I think that's a fine point, man. Like, this has been it's been depressing. Like, you've had, you know,
like
all
we
these
look
guys
forward to
belts.
Those one fight. One, two fights with John Jones. He doesn't fight that much. When you look at with Conor and with everybody going on the top of that division, one fight never took place, and we're still waiting. Been waiting for what, 2 years for this fight, for the fight between Habib and who's supposed to fight?
Yeah, him and Tony Ferguson were supposed to fight forever.
Oh, yeah. That's five times.
That's on them. That's not on negotiation with the UFC. That was just that fight's cursed.
But just stuff like that, I'm like, okay, like I'll watch. This is not who I want to see.
I'll tell you what, you know what piques my interest? There was a little bit of a freak show fight that was thrown out there yesterday by Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach says that Manny Pacquiao is interested in fighting Triple G.
Really?
Whoa. I was like, whoa. I'm like, first of all, I don't know how they do that because Manny is tiny. He's gonna go fight the former middleweight champion of the world, 160 pounds.
Well,
but like,
you know what the problem is?
That's a fun fight. If you could just do it pound for pound, like, I'm just thinking about both of those guys. They're all action. That's a fun fight, Leroy.
But Pacquiao's gonna just tattoo him. It's gonna be a
yeah, just dancing around.
Right.
But then what if he gets him up against the ropes? Triple G just hits him with those bombs.
Dude, we've been watching 1,000 people try to do that against Manny. I mean, against Pacquiao.
This is a freak show size, though. This is like, remember back in the day when he fought Antonio Margarito, who's like the guy who cheated against Miguel Cotto, loaded up his gloves with cement, and Manny broke that dude's orbital bone, and that was a freak show? That was 147 pounds. You're going up another two weight classes to fight Triple G?
Woo! I mean, it's still not going to do the numbers of Floyd. That's just an anomaly.
I won't do Floyd numbers, but I bet you it does a million.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, I just saw the next opponent they're throwing out there for Canelo. I was like, whew. I'm going to tell you, that's the worst contract signed in sports history. The Canelo DAZN contract?
Ooh,
they got hosed.
Yeah.
It was a Stanton contract.
Yeah, I think it's worse than the Stanton contract. They got hosed.
And the numbers are about the same. I think Canelo's is more.
Because they can't get him to fight anybody, or
yeah, there's just all these fights, that they've had him. He's had like one fight on this contract where it's been like, all right, I'm into that opponent. The last fight we went to when it was Triple G versus him versus Triple G, the rematch, that was his last one on his HBO deal. And since then, he's been doing all these like other opponents. And you're just like, all right, cool, I guess. He's fought old-ass Kovalev, Rocky Fielding, fought Daniel Jacobs. That was going to be a good fight, but Daniel Jacobs does feel a little bit past his prime. It's like, yeah, if I'm DAZN, I'm like, what the F? Who are these guys you're fighting?
Well, part of the problem is one, you kind of, like, you're promoting him like you don't want him to lose, like he's an up-and-comer. I think DAZN is doing that, you know, to some extent. I mean, you think it's bad now. How bad would it be if he loses?
I don't know. I just don't. People thought that he lost against Triple G. I think that he's at a point in his career where he's such a star, Canelo, that he should be fine. He should just take on the toughest fights. And it's not like Canelo's ducked guys in the past. He's fought a lot of hard fights. Right. You know, he fought Floyd when he was 21. Like, this is a guy who is taking on tough challenges, but
Floyd won't fight him again.
$300 million, and it's like, hey. you're gonna fight Anthony Durrell?
Floyd won't fight him again.
No.
Well, Floyd wouldn't. Floyd
gonna, what is he gonna do that for?
No, but I'm saying it got when got to about 25, 26.
How about this?
Floyd didn't want none of that.
How about this?
What?
Canelo Alvarez versus 53-year-old Mike Tyson.
No.
Stop. Now we're having some fun. Come on.
Stop.
Who would you take?
The only way, let's see. I mean, you can go to the Manny Pacquiao. I mean, that's the two guys that I guess if
you're kicking around Triple G, why couldn't you do Canelo? Canelo versus Manny would do monster numbers.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Who would you take in a scenario of
Mike
Canelo,
Tyson.
Canelo Alvarez against 53-year-old Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson.
What?
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 53.
Really?
Leroy, how about people?
You're crazy. Yes. What? He's in the prime of his career.
Hold on. There's weight classes for a reason.
But Leroy.
That pitter-pat that Triple G is throwing versus those haymakers of Tyson.
It's not pitter-pat. It's weight classes, but he's a heavy hitter for his weight class.
He's still weighing what? 147, 155?
No, 160. 160.
160.
That's cutting, though. That's cutting.
Tyson coming in at 215?
Let's say he doesn't have to cut. Let's say he's 175 pounds.
175 pounds and Tyson's 220?
Yeah.
Tyson.
Wow, I think Canelo whoop his ass. Dude,
what?
You're crazy.
Dude, Tyson would hit him with one of those uppercuts.
How many rounds do you think Tyson can give at this age?
A half. But it'll be some of the best boxing you've seen in a half. And hey, you ever see my favorite part of the fights is when fighters go in there all gung-ho and excited, and they look over at their corner like, how much time left?
Leroy, if Tyson could beat Triple G or Canelo, then Chuck Norris would whoop your ass.
No, dude. Let me tell you something. Chuck Norris ain't 80. Ain't throwing nearly the heat that Tyson's throwing.
Dude,
at
I was
53.
seeing these Chuck Norris prime kicks on the Bruce Lee documentary. Dude, that dude threw some heat.
I'm not talking about prime Chuck Norris. Why y'all keep saying that? Chuck Norris is 80.
I think that's him. He could dial it up, dude. He's got that in him.
When you 80, you can't dial up nothing, but you can push that little button. I've fallen and I can't get up. That's it.
We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.